Please be seated. This past week, Ellen, my wife, and I went to watch one of St. Thomas's youth play a baseball game. While we were there, I couldn't help but think back to when I played so many baseball games as a youth. I loved baseball the best of all, probably because I'm not very fast or overly athletic, and so my mind could get my very slow feet caught up to what was going on. More than that, it was just the way that I made good friends over the years. As I watched the game this past week from the stands and listened to the supportive shouts from parents, I remembered my own parents coming to up to 100 games a summer between my brother and I. Occasionally after a game, my mom would ask if we could hear her yelling at us, of course, always supportively, from our place in the field or at bat. And we never could. When we told her that, both of my parents were confused. My mom was confused because she knew how loud she was yelling, and my dad was confused, as it turns out, for the same reason, which is why he usually watched from a different place. The voice of my mother, the one that I have heard my entire life, was relatively easily drowned out among all of the noise and distraction and concentration of a youth baseball game. And isn't it like that with our faith lives as well? The voice of the one who knows us by name, the one who loves us beyond all measure, the one who laid down his life for us, calls us. And yet there is so much that keeps us from hearing and listening to Jesus, the Good Shepherd's voice. And yet it is this call heard in Jesus' voice that lets us come to know him as the one who leads us on this faith journey. The passage from the Gospel, according to John for today, is the second time in this couple of chapters here where Jesus has used the image of the sheep and the shepherd. It is part of Jesus' long response to the Pharisees' anger with him for giving sight to a man born blind. They begin to question him and become angry with him because he has healed someone on the Sabbath. Surely because of this he cannot be from God, they say. In response to this, Jesus says that he, and not some set of rules or laws or anything else, is the gate by which sheep enter the fold, and one cannot enter by deception or through another way. The sheep that are truly in this fold follow the shepherd because they know his voice. And they will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. The Pharisees are left confused, so Jesus explains himself further with our passage for today. And he begins his explanation, as he frequently does in this gospel, with the words, "I am." I am the good shepherd. We know in this that this is at the core of Jesus' very identity. The image of the shepherd is fairly familiar to us. Jesus uses it frequently. The shepherds were the first people to hear of the birth of a Savior. We are frequently, all of us, depicted as the flock of sheep. It wouldn't have been an unfamiliar image to those hearing Jesus in that day either. Two of Israel's most celebrated leaders, Moses and David, were shepherds. Many of Israel's kings were described as shepherds in the books of Zechariah and Ezekiel, though some were good and some not so much. And the Lord himself was described as a shepherd in that famous psalm we have for today. This is not an unfamiliar image, and it is one that is always present when we read of God and God's call of leaders. As I said, though, these kings who were frequently described as shepherds throughout the Old Testament were not always good or faithful or caring for their flock. In our passage for today, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, the one who, unlike the hired hand, will lay down his life for the flock, will protect the flock from wolves, and will seek to draw each sheep, even those who we do not know yet, into his fold. Indeed, he calls us all to be in his flock, to be led by the good shepherd. And we know that call when we seek to hear his voice. Jesus says, "I know my own, and my own know me, and they know my voice." We have heard this voice calling us before, or at least I assume so, because we're all here. It is the voice inviting us to love more fully. It is the voice telling us that we are loved beyond all measure. It is the voice saying, "Come and follow me and live a life of hope even in things against things like what we see in Nepal. This hope and this love change the world, and the voice of the one who calls us is inviting us to participate in that. It is the voice that leads us into truth, and the voice that, when we listen for it, speaks louder and more clearly than all other voices and noises in this loud world. If only we, as the sheep, can learn to listen for it. Sheep have a somewhat negative reputation, don't they? I'm not sure that it isn't entirely undeserved. My father showed sheep as a child, and so we would always go see them when we visited his family, and they've earned somewhat of this reputation. It can even be a little bit charming when we think of ourselves as confused and lost sheep sometimes. But sheep can also be smart. Barbara Brown Taylor is a well-known writer and speaker. She's an Episcopal priest. She wrote a sermon called The Voice of the Shepherd. And then she tells of a friend who grew up on a sheep ranch and who wanted to do away with this negative reputation that sheep had. She claimed that cattle farmers were the ones who started it. I didn't know there was such a rivalry between cattle and sheep farmers, but evidently. Evidently, cows are herded from the rear with shouts and with prods from the cowboys. But that does not work with sheep. If you just get behind a sheep and yell at it, it goes behind you. But they prefer to be led. Sheep will not go anywhere that someone else, their trusted shepherd, does not go first, to show them that everything is all right. The good news for us is that being led by the good shepherd is that Jesus has gone where we are called to go. If we are indeed sheep in need of one to lead, Jesus has walked the journey of being fully human in this world. He has gone to the sick, to the blind, to the poor, to those who society says don't love. Jesus has loved them. He, of course, also was fully God. And so more than all of this, particularly in this Easter season, we are wise to remember that Jesus went even to death and showed us that death will be all right because in the end there is life. He is the one who leads the way for us, the one who we seek to follow, if only we can listen to and discern this voice. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. When the shepherd leads, the sheep know to follow because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. It is a well-used image and one that makes sense to us, and I don't know about you, but I'm pretty thankful to be led by a shepherd as Jesus. It seems to me the call of those of us who seek to follow this good shepherd is to learn to hear the voice. Barbara Brown Taylor goes on in her sermon to say, "Sheep seem to consider their shepherds part of the family, and the relationship that grows up between the two is quite exclusive. They develop a language that is their own, that outsiders are not privy to." This is not to say that Jesus wants to exclude some from the flock. In fact, he says the quite opposite in this passage for today. "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also," he says. But it is to say that to be able to hear the voice of Jesus leading us takes time. It requires not just the mountaintop experiences of our faith, but the developed relationship of seeking and searching, of doubting, of falling away, of running away like a lost sheep. To be able to discern the voice of the one who calls us by name, the one who loves us so much that he laid down his life for us, requires this much work, this much time, this much relationship, because there is so much noise that seeks to drown his voice out. This morning at St. Thomas, we are recognizing our seniors, among other many wonderful celebrations. There are several here today, this morning. To my mind, the gathered community, the flock, all of us have a charge to help them to hear the voice of the one who loves them, who calls them among all the voices of the world that they now face in a new way. Let us do that. You see, sheep need their fellow sheep. They need their leader too. Their shepherd, they need him to know where to go and to know whom to follow. To live faithfully, to hear the voice of Jesus above all the other noise, we need our community too. We hear Jesus' voice that much more clearly when, among other times, we see each other serve those in need. We are able to love one another, or we receive that love from each other when everything is going well and when everything isn't going so well. The voice of the shepherd who calls us each by name and who leads us both as individuals and as a community is one in which we feel secure, because when we hear his voice, we know that the shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for us is near. So let us in our own lives strive to hear the voice of Jesus among all the other voices and calls of this world. For he is the good shepherd, calling us to do our part to make his voice heard in the world, inviting us to live a life of love and mercy and hope. Because in doing so, our lives and our communities and the world, they're transformed.